Hello, my friends in Cherokee County. This is Lynn Saunders, your host of Cherokee Conversations. And as always, I believe that God has just picked the right person for us to have a conversation with this weekend. And it is my dear friend, Pastor Fred Goodwin. And I've known Fred for many years. Yes, we're both nodding at each other. Yes, he is a retired pastor of Church of Messiah in Canton, Georgia, and is currently involved in local ministries, abroad ministries. And I'm going to just ask him to say, well, first, hello, welcome. And Pastor Fred, would you just help our listeners get to know you better? And what you've got your hands involved in, because I know retirement is not in your language, it's not in your DNA. So welcome this morning.
It's a real privilege to be with you, Lynn, and with the listeners. Lived in Cherokee County with my wife, Jill, of 50 years, and we've lived in Cherokee County for, I guess, 26 years now. Mm-hmm. Been very active in a lot of community activities, but since retirement in 2019, we have been very active in many local ministries. We're now most active at His Hands down in Woodstock. Do Bible classes there. I teach a Overcoming Grief class there. Assist behind the scenes with a lot of other ministries, but also have a very active international ministry in India that was launched since we retired.
Good. I wanted you to talk a little bit more about that because I think that that is fascinating.
Well, while I was volunteering with Serve International out of Canton, was introduced to a pastor in India who was hoping we could get some food to them for the orphans and widows at Christmas time. And while that was not possible due to all sorts of logistic problems, we did get some funds to him and thought this was a one and done kind of offer. And it just ended up where over the weeks and months, we got to be very closely connected on Messenger. We began in the months and then the years to fund a Bible college there. And then after knowing him for a couple of years, he admitted that he and his wife decided to plant an orphanage because mm-hmm. two rooms open in their home and they wanted to bring in 17 orphans.
Wow.
And that language was, of course, hard for us as Americans to understand. We formed a 501c3 and with a board, we did a fundraising. And we actually have an orphanage of 25 children.
Oh, Fred, that's wonderful.
And now in the last 2.5 years since then, been to India a couple times. We now have our third orphanage. We have the fourth one under construction. We have planted 31 churches and we're training 16 more church planters. This year, we are just this week have finished putting in our fifth well this year.
Oh my gosh.
Wells last year. We sponsor 600 children now in daily classes at night so they can be tutored to get ahead in school, because in India, education of children is preeminently important. And they need tutors to stay in classes. And the more classes they can advance in, and they get into English classes, which is how the level of education advances. Wow. These families do not have the financial means to pay for tutors, so we support the tutorship program.
I don't know how you do it all. I just don't know how you do it all.
We've done over 600 baptisms in the last 5 years. We give Bibles to all those who are first-time believers. And we're now hosting medical clinics in villages, so we're rather busy.
You know, I will have you back to talk about all you're doing overseas in India, because I think we could probably use the half hour just there. The reason, though, that I invited you to the conversation today and for this weekend is to talk about Charlie Kirk.
Sure.
And we're hearing a lot of different takes, whether it's news or radio or about, you know, the assassination and the impact thereof. But his funeral is going to be this weekend. And it truly is going to be a weekend of mourning for the Christian community, more specifically. And when it comes to a pastor's heart, I thought of you first.
Oh, bless you.
Well, we've got kind of some years together. And just for the listeners to also know, you were president of the CCMA, which is the Cherokee Christian Ministerial Association, for on or about 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I was your vice president never with the intention of being president, because I did not have a church. I ran a ministry, Encompass Ministries. And of course, you retired, and so we've had a couple of other presidents, and now I am the president. And so it's just funny how God just smiles and takes you on a turn that you don't expect. But you and I, you've got to be just really close, I think, in our ministry hearts during that period of time as we just work together through the ministerial association. So with Charlie Kirk, I think that biggest thing that I would like to address is how, as Christians, as a Christian community and a Christian family, how do we respond?
Well, first, let's recognize we probably have some listeners that were unfamiliar with even his name up until this past week or so. And I've been a follower of his ministry through YouTube and Facebook and others for quite some time.
Me too.
I've been very impressed with his work, with his boldness, with his Christian stance, and his ability to articulate from a very wise position, not only his understanding of the Bible, but his understanding of the U.S. Constitution, state constitutions and charters, and so on. I found it just interesting as I heard the news of his loss that it was first being reported as that he was killed, then that he was murdered, and as the day progressed, it was that he was assassinated, an appropriate term because he was a very public figure. But then began hearing the term that he was martyred,
Me too,
which
yes.
also a very important word because his primary commitment was to Jesus Christ. He made it very clear frequently that it's God first, then family, then whatever work God calls us to do. And at 31 years old, as a young father of two small children, and a beautiful wife that he was very close to, he really sought to model not only his commitment to Christ, but his commitment as a husband and father. But he was so brilliant and bold in his proclamation and his ability to engage with those who had different opinions than him that he really had a very unique ministry on college campuses and universities, especially in the United States, but I understand he'd had some abroad as well. He formed an organization called Turning Point USA, which was an effort to launch charter groups, almost like franchises, but little clubs and communities in high schools and colleges across the nation. I understand they'd gotten, his goal was to get 20,000 of these going in the United States before the end of his career. He could not have possibly imagined that since his passing, 54,000 requests have come in, at least as far as this date,
It's up to 54,000 because I've been tracking that too.
to launch
Wow.
more
Yes.
locations. I've had conversations with students, with young people in the Gen Z generation, and it's fascinating that this is coming, his loss is coming at a time when this young generation, the Gen Z, is coming back to church in a way no generation, including our own, ever has.
Well, God, has said that there will be a rallying and there'll be a falling away also, but I really, our country needs our young people to find God, to find that moral compass, to find the way that he instructed us to live. And Charlie and his wife Erica emulated that. They prayer was very much a part of their every day together. I actually had the neat opportunity to listen to somebody interviewing the two of them. I can't remember who it was, truthfully, but it was about their household, their family life, their prayer life, who was head of the household, how were decisions made. And it was so impressive that, close your eyes and not think or not know who was speaking. You would have thought it was a much more seasoned couple who had been married 30, 40, 50 years to have found that place of just the stride and the rhythm of how the household operated. And for this young family, it was astounding. And to have just that little model emulated over and over and over and over with all the what tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of young people that his life touched, Wouldn't that just be an awesome wave of revival in a way of the generation coming back to faith or coming into the faith for the first time? I think that's exciting. And when he was killed that day, the mourning that I felt for his loss, his family, but also for the young people of our country who would not have that role model daily, weekly, year by year as they were raising up their families, as he was encouraging them to do. So,
He had that unique ability to bring biblical perspectives into a culture that was increasingly turning away from church and away from the Lord. And he was very clear that we needed to embrace the plan and purposes that God had for us in our theology, in our morality, in our witness. And he did it without a full record of notes or anything else as he spoke. He just engaged
brilliant.
different from him. And he had such a remarkably well thought out understanding of life in accordance with God's word that it startled people. And of course, in today's hostile environment, social media environment, it made many people angry, even as it encouraged many people to choose the path of Christ. Remarkable. I think it's important to recognize, however, in the bigger perspective, Tertullian was a phenomenal Christian writer and leader in the end of the second and third century. And he was the first to write that the blood of the martyrs is the seeds of the church. And we're seeing that already in this week and a half or so since his loss. Because when someone let's recognize we all need heroes, and we haven't had real heroes in our life in a long, long time. I was thinking in this when I was being raised, we had the heroes of all the astronauts,
Oh,
all
yeah.
of my peers wanted to be astronauts. But a outspoken Christian leader who's willing to die for his values, and whose wife can readily admit that he is now in his continued life with the Lord Jesus. That encouragement takes it even further than a hero. It causes all of us to say, what am I living for? What are my values? And are they worth dying for? And martyrdom stirs up people to pay attention to their own lives in ways that actually nothing else does.
Yeah. I think the last time that I felt a deep sense of mourning nationally was 9/11. And, Charlie Kirk, he died on September 10th.
Yes.
The very next day, I am standing in, downtown Canton between the two courthouses that morning with several hundred other people to have a memorial for 9/11, which was beautifully done. But the deep sense of mourning and awe was with everybody over Charlie. And, a lot of these young people, it's been 24 years since 9/11, and I can tell you exactly where I was when that happened, or the series of planes hitting buildings happened, as I will be able to tell you also where I was when I heard the news of Charlie Kirk. And I will just give my age a little bit. I can tell you where I was when JFK was killed. I was in first
That's
grade.
yeah.
And so you're right. It's those, it's the heroes, but it's the impacts that come to something with such momentum, I think, is also part of what the country is dealing with, because nobody saw it coming. And he was such a force, and he was everywhere. He had the respect of, I probably use the word conservatives in this conversation, as to, you live your life according to the Bible and the biblical worldview. And although that can be controversial, and we don't want to get into the controversy, on this platform, but the impact made the world stop for just a moment. So, anyway.
And something new for this generation, where they are so used to seeing violence as entertainment. So many young people saw it live or repeated through social media throughout the day before it was removed. Tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, saw it, and the shock of that, and the reality that the world can be a very violent place. I find it interesting that Charlie Kirk emphasized on numerous occasions that Christians have the responsibility of not hiding out behind our buildings. That was he used, but that we need to get out into the world and encounter people and share our faith and stand boldly for the biblical witness of the uniqueness of our Savior Jesus Christ, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and our responsibilities to witness the good news, for us to recognize that death isn't the end, but the door.
And to tag on that, he had a microphone, and he the power of that mic he used very, very well, and God really anointed that. But he also had the power of listening. And even though he knew whoever was coming up to the mic, and at his rallies, he would say, "If you disagree with me, you come to the front because I want to talk to you." And he would listen to their conversation and their question or their statement. And then he would use whatever they said to pivot on that or to address that directly, to have somebody l really listen as he did, because he was a young man as well. So he could relate to those people. I mean, I'll say me, because I'm talking about my age. I would not have that same impact with that generation. Now, I've got a great relationship with my grandkids and my kids, but he had that knack. And as we approach the society after Charlie Kirk, for us remaining Christians who want to have that mic and want to be able to talk about our faith, and this is how God instructs us to live. These are the moral compasses that he's got written in the pages of the Bible. We need to listen. And that's hard. That is hard.
It's wonderful that you had mentioned that, because we are increasingly hearing stories that he listened so well that he would often meet one-on-one when the mic was off and would minister individually to that person, including support, encouragement, prayer, understanding. It's the confirmation that his witness has to be our witness. We have to be people of integrity, people who what we claim on a Sunday in church is what we're witnessing and living in our day-to-day life. And that was such, he was such a clear model of that to the generations following us that catches them off guard. It also is the witness that you may find people who are not pleased, and you may hit, and that shouldn't matter, because like Charlie, we are called to live for an audience of one, Jesus Christ. And we should no longer be defined by the opinions of others. It shouldn't matter, because we've been set free through the blood of the Lamb and the rest. We're new creation every day.
The audience of one, that is that, and the word integrity that you just used together. You have no choice but to walk in integrity if you are concerned about your audience of one. And man's opinions shouldn't matter. So, social media is really tearing it up on both sides right
Sure.
now. And I'm a little surprised that not in the Christians still rallying, but those who are applauding what happened, they're still very vocal. There's a lot of repercussions happening in our world with that. As Christians, how do we face off or have conversations that would please God with those who maybe just don't understand Christianity and what he stood for?
I think it's that we look for opportunities wherever we are. Let me give you a quick example. A good friend of mine, meeting with him for lunch a year ago, I was so startled to hear him turn to the server at the table and say, "We're men of faith. We're going to be praying in just a moment. Is there something we can pray for you or for your family?" I have begun doing that, as Jill has, with every occasion. And as simple as someone who's serving us to ask that question, we are blown away. Sometimes they get teary-eyed. We've had some put things in writing for us to continue.
Oh.
It's remarkable, their careers, illnesses of loved ones, their struggles in life, and they get teary-eyed. So it's just remarkable that if you just look for the occasions to build up someone, to minister to someone, and that is far more like Jesus than worrying about whether someone will not accept our offer.
Right.
We have never had anyone, not one person, has ever, ever server has ever said, I don't want to talk about this. They've all said, oh, we're so amazed. You're the first person that's ever asked us. And I said, well, then forgive us Christians because we should be asking all the time.
We should.
We should.
Yeah. I'm very impressed with that. I'm going to do that too, because I'm still out in the marketplace often. Having a breakfast or lunch or whatever. And of course, even when my husband and I go out for dinners, we can do that. We can do that. And we can all do that. And boy, what an explosion in Cherokee County if every server had somebody every night to say, "How can we pray for you?" What an impact that would make.
Amen.
I think we've got something there. And maybe it just, it's finding those one-off opportunities, those unexpected encounters with people that come from all different kinds of backgrounds to minister in such a tender, powerful way, because we do believe in the power of prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we've got just 2, 3 minutes, left, Fred. And is there anything that you want to make sure that that's on your heart that you want to convey to the listeners?
Well, Charlie Kirk is not the first martyr I've run across. I had a very good friend in Haiti
I
who I
remember.
to Jean-Paul.
Yes.
I think we have to recognize the wake-up call of a martyr who living for Christ and pays the price is the reminder to us that the values we live by as Christians really matter into eternity. And our eternity starts the day of our baptism, not when we physically die. We get so preoccupied with our physical bodies that we may even still be fearful of our physical deaths, but we need not because of the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. So I believe the Lord is encouraging, emboldening each of us now to be ready to even more commit to living our life a bit more like Charlie Kirk and all the other folks who have gone ahead of us to say, it's my time now. I need to be much clearer about what I believe and who I can share with.
Paying the price for those who live for Christ. That could almost be something on Facebook, something on social media that has the tone of a Charlie Kirk, but it's not really a Charlie Kirk out there. And maybe we just need to be doing some of that type of evangelism with just the one-liners. So if you've got anything else, great. You just tell me and I'll write it down and I'll get it on a Canva and we'll share credit for it somehow. But well, fantastic. Well, Pastor Fred, this has been a great, great conversation. And I will tell you that people in this county are still struggling to try to figure out where they are with this. As he was, politically involved, but he was a father, and he had two beautiful children and a wife who now has to carry on with that family, and Erica and those children, and Charlie's parents. I haven't seen them, so I don't know if they've been out in the forefront, but they are, still alive, and that family is going to need our prayers and support for years, not just now, but as those children, I mean, I just can't imagine that sweet little daughter saying, "Where's daddy? Where's daddy?" And the little son, will he even remember his dad? I mean, it's just heartbreaking when you look at this beautiful family that was just boom, blasted apart in an instant. One last thought, and we are at time. Do you know what Charlie's last word was as he was answering a question?
I've heard some, but I'm not certain.
What I've heard, the word is violence. Wouldn't that be a terrible last word on somebody's lips in trying to just say, "Let's just talk to end the violence." And maybe that's just the way we end today, is we just We just have to listen and we have to talk and we have to have our microphone and walk in integrity because we do have an audience of one. Pastor Fred, thank you for your time. Thank you for your insight and wisdom. I always walk away with just knowing, just seeing things clearer through your perspective and through your words. And thank you that you did not really retire. I didn't really retire either,
No, you didn't.
but just kind of transitioned your Monday through Friday, or in your case, your Sunday through Saturday. And just thank you for all that you do in our community, at His hands, and around the world. God bless you.
God bless you too. Thanks, Lynn.